Welcome into the Midweek Focus. Ricky Klaverkamp here. Midweek Focus on a Friday because, you know, that's the middle of the week for somehow, some way. But it's because we have a special thing to talk about. We have a new pope. Habemus Papam, right, Father? That's
Habemus Papam.
Yes.
We have a pope.
That is Father Tim Schrader joining us, the parish priest here in Oaks at St. Charles Borromeo and over at Foreman at St. Mary's in Foreman. Father, welcome to the program. Welcome to the studio. This is your first time in the studios, isn't it?
It is, yes. So, great to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Well, we better invite the resident priest because, I mean, new pope means a lot of new things. I know the last couple weeks you've been saying the Eucharistic prayer without a pope's name. It's just
sometimes I made a mistake and said Pope Francis when had already passed.
Yeah, you're like in communion with Pope Francis. Oh, wait, no. But new pope, and I'm initial reactions. American pope. I was astonished.
I was really surprised too because they didn't want. Traditionally, they think don't want all the power since the United States already has so much influence in economics and other things. The traditional wisdom was don't give them the papacy as well.
Complete American dominance now, right? Well, technically, he could run for president. We could have the Pope as the president. I don't think he'll do that, but still, it's an interesting dynamic, especially with how this country used to be when at its founding, how the anti-Catholic history behind this country. And I wonder what George Washington and all the founding fathers would think if you'd have told them 250 years from now, there's going to be an American pope. What would they have thought? Like,
yes, they couldn't compute.
Yeah, they would be like, what? No, no, we can't have that. No,
we got away from the kingships.
But it's very interesting. I did not expect it. And Cardinal Prevost was on a lot of like lists. I remember reading about him, but he had kind of fallen off, and he's very big missionary work in Peru. And I know that you're wearing your Peruvian jersey right now. Tell me a little bit what you know about that. What do you know about the ex Cardinal Prevost, now Pope Leo XIV?
Well, I know that, in 10 years ago, in 2015, a number of us who have been going to Peru, I started going to Peru in 1998 and went down in 2015 for the beatification of martyrs, of some Polish martyrs, and there was an Italian martyr priests that were killed by that regime at that time. And so I was there, and I was surprised. One of the people from Peru sent me a message that Cardinal Prevost was there at the time, and I was there as well. So I already been to an event with him.
And at the time, it was just a bishop. Prevost.
Yeah, Bishop. Yes.
Yeah, because he's a pretty new cardinal, 2023.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, so he's still very, very new to the cardinalate or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, did a lot of missionary work down in Peru. He's an Augustinian, which I also find interesting because Augustinians are kind of heady, aren't they? Are they not? Like, kind of smart people, aren't they? So.
And he's 69.
Mm-hmm. Young.
Yeah, for a pope, yes.
So 20, what do you think, 20 years? If he goes like Francis?
Be 19 years if it's as the age of Francis. Francis.
Yeah, and even longer if it was like Pope Benedict.
Right.
Emeritus. You know.
Right.
Another thing I wanted to mention, Pope Leo. The very interesting name. What are your thoughts on taking the name Leo?
Well, I remember when we were when I was in seminary back in 84 to 88, especially we talked about the social doctrine of the church and how Leo defended the rights of workers. And not everybody today is popular. It's popular to have unions, but the workers were being oppressed at that time. And he was a real champion of the worker. And he wrote a lot of social doctrine that still has implications for today.
Yeah.
And the rights of people who are being oppressed.
Very big on like the natural law of private property. Very big on like you can't just treat your workers like slaves.
Yeah, there's a limit to to property too, because like land and everything is kind of collectively important to all of us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I know that he's big on the environment too, is what I've read a little bit about. Was like, he's like, well, we can't just screw up the environment. We got to be caretakers.
Right. Yes. We're stewards.
Yeah. So
for our future generations to come.
Yeah. So I think it's very telling that he takes the name Leo the 14th, especially in our day and age when, we've got a lot of things going on, workers and everything else. And I mean, he was Leo 13th, very big against communism, very big against just rampant capitalism too.
Right. Yeah. There's a real balance there. And ideology becomes an ideology, becomes dominant over human rights and protection of people. And
yeah.
The dignity of people.
What do you think of him coming out wearing the mazzetto, the red mazzetto, compared to Pope Francis, who eschewed it?
Yeah, I was still thinking about that. I don't, kind of went back more to the traditional thing. I think he wants to send a message too that he was. Pope Francis elevated him to the cardinal, and he worked there in the diocese vetting bishops, basically, for the selection of bishops, a very powerful commission. He wasn't just a duplicate of Pope Francis, but he is his own man, but he still honored Pope Francis in the right away.
Yep.
And I think he is more in connection with Pope Francis and his legacy, if you will, promoting what Pope Francis would.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what stays the same and what changes in between the Pope Francis regime and now.
I understand that he's a canonist. That's what I heard.
Yes, yeah, he'll be able to write his own.
Yeah. Well, canonists tend to be more measured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pope Francis would say some things that off the cuff that he would have to kind of clarify later down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So he went at it with a little bit of a
Well, if he wanted the proof that he's a canonist, he had already written out a speech. He probably was spending the 45 minutes to an hour writing out whatever he wanted to say.
And I don't know Italian that well, but they said it was excellent Italian.
Excellent Italian. Yeah.
It sounded like great, but I know Spanish, and he's even better at Spanish because he was 10 years in Peru.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the announcers had said.
And he speaks Peruvian as well, as what I've heard.
Yeah.
Peruvian
Spanish.
Peruvian Spanish. He speaks Portuguese is what
Portuguese,
I was trying to say.
Yeah. So 8 different languages, I understand.
Yeah.
And I heard that he spent about a third of his life in the United States, a third in Peru, and a third in Rome. I don't know if that's
accurate. I'd believe it because he's barely here in America. Like he's been in Peru a lot.
So that was one of the things that were more acceptable to the cardinals, that he has a very world tendency. Sometimes U.S. citizens, America first, like that's the only country in the whole wide world. But our country, our church is universal. That's why Catholic means universal. And so we need to have someone that has eyes for the world.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw an interesting post yesterday as well. It was the popes throughout the last couple centuries, and Italians dominate all the way until I think it was JP II.
Yes,
it was
yes.
Polish, and then we haven't had a Italian pope in gosh, like a long time now.
Now 87? No, 70, 78 was when Pope John Paul II took.
I think so.
I was a junior in high school.
I was not alive.
I'm getting older. I can't believe it. Now the Pope's only. I was worried when the bishop was younger than me. Mm-hmm. Now that the Pope is only 5 years older, I think. Oh my gosh!
Well, I'm sitting there. I'm surprised that they did, because I know they were talking. A lot of people online wanted Pizzaballa.
Yeah.
Not only just because of his name, but because of his work in the Middle East. And a lot of people are like, "Well, his age is. He's very young. He's 65 or something like that."
Yeah.
I'm like, well, they just picked a 69-year-old. So obviously they were like, all right, we trust this guy enough to be around for a while.
And I wonder, too, if they recognize the stresses of the papacy.
Mm-hmm.
And a younger guy can be more effective the beginning, at least, you know. And sometimes near the end, there's time where it's kind of hard to get anything new done because you're just out of energy.
Well, and I mean, Pope Francis wasn't able to say public mass for like the last 4 years. He's been so out of energy.
Right. Yeah. So. He's been sick and different things. And so Pope Benedict started it was a long time before any pope had resigned.
Mm-hmm.
Pope Benedict resigned. And I wonder if future popes will consider that more now.
I wonder. Yeah. It will be interesting when we get to the end of this and it'll be like probably like 15 years down. We're talking something 15 years down the road now.
Yeah.
But it's going to be an interesting 15 years. I have hope, and I'm very happy with it.
I am too. I got this New Earth magazine with the Bishop Foley just having gone to Peru. And I was with him and our group in March 1st, and having been to that beatification of the martyrs back in 2015, different things that I have been very interested in Peru and the poverty there and our connection with the diocese in general. And so
yeah.
I think it's hopeful.
Hopeful. And that's how I'd explain a lot of Catholic commentators today is hopeful.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, Father, thanks for joining me today here on the Midweek Focus, and we'll have to talk again soon. Sound good?
Yes, sounds good. Thank you very much.
That's Father Tim Schroeder talking about the Pope here on KDDR, The Tornado.